Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
And welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few moments, please stay with me. As always, it's going to be a time of motivation, inspiration, education, and be done with no manipulation. Because we don't have hidden agendas. We are not trying to recruit you. We're not trying to hustle you. All we're trying to do is give you some accurate information. Information that hopefully will allow you to verify as well as identify the plan of God for your life. And if in doing so, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. It's up to you. It's your life. You live it every day. You make decisions every day. And hopefully you'll make good decisions because bad decisions limit future options. We have a bumper sticker that says that, bad decisions limit future options. If you'd like to have one, we'll send it to you absolutely free, no charge ever for anything from this ministry. Just write to us, Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. And don't include any money. I'm not trying to hustle you for money. Just if you want one of those stickers and you're willing to stick it on your truck or your car or your vehicle, bad decisions limit future options, drop us a note or come to the website and send us an email. Give us your address and we'll get it out immediately. It's to email me, it's real simple. Go to our website, rickhughesministries.org. Someone called me today and said, I'm trying to mail it to rickhughesministries.com. That doesn't work, folks. It's .org. And if you want to get that bumper sticker, email us from the website and we'll send it right to you. It's a great little decal to have, and we've given away thousands of them. I love it when I'm driving down the road and I see one of those stickers on someone's car. Bad decisions limit future options. I have made a lot of bad decisions, and I'm sure that you have as well. I'm so very thankful for the grace of God that covers my bad decisions. I'm so very thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ always goes and looks for that one sheep that's left the fold. And when he finds him, as my pastor taught recently, he puts him on his shoulders and brings him back. You know, our God never deserts us. He never forgets about us. He loves us in spite of our weaknesses and in spite of our failures. And I want you to remember that today. God loves you. The wonderful thing about it is, once you believed in Jesus Christ, you had the capability to become a brand new person. Not only are you a new person in Christ when you're born again, when you're given a human spirit that was dead and dormant because of Adam's original sin, and then you're made alive spiritually, but you also have the opportunity to live a new life called the spiritual life. And the spiritual life is, in fact, the most unique life in the history of the world. No one's ever been able to replicate it because it's only lived by means of the power of God the Holy Spirit and by means of the Word of God that's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Those dynamics, when we have those dynamics, when we put them together, we begin to grow spiritually. We begin to understand the concepts and the principles and the procedures that God laid forth in His Word. Then we begin to give Him maximum glorification because as we grow spiritually, then we represent Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. And that's our objective. That's why we're here, to be Christ-like. That's why Paul said, it's no longer I, but it's Christ in me. And we want our friends to see Christ in us. We don't want them to see us because we know that we're just not too good to people to look at. Many of us are made bad decisions. I know many of us are just goofy sometimes, and it's not about us, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to lift Him up and replicate Him so that people will be drawn to Him through us. And so along the way, we have enemies. There are enemies to you ever living your spiritual life, and this is what I want to talk about today. I want to be able to identify your enemies for you, because this is in fact a war. The Bible uses a lot of military metaphors, and this show is predicated on a military metaphor, the flat line. That's a military term for the forward line of troops, F-L-O-T. And what we're teaching is using this metaphor to show you how you can learn 10 unique problem-solving devices and they can form a barrier, a frontline barrier, to stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. So adversity is always inevitable, but stress is optional. So if we know our options, if we know the advantages that we have in Christ, then we can overcome some of these enemies that come against us every day. And the Bible identifies three enemies, and this is what I want to talk to you about. They are there to keep you from growing up spiritually. You know, this is what it's about. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, so what's next? Why doesn't God just take you right on to heaven once you believe in Jesus Christ? Why does He leave you here? And it's so that you can grow and replicate the Christ life. That's what it's about. For you to grow spiritually, for you to acquire the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16 and Philippians 2:5, having the humility of Jesus Christ in your life. That's why you're here, so you can be a light to a lost and dying world, just as our Savior was when He walked into this world. He's no longer here. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, awaiting the shouted order to return. And what a day that will be when it happens. But you and I are here as His personal representatives. We are royal ambassadors, the Bible says. We're believer priests. We have the ability to come to Him under our own power. We can pray directly to Him. We don't have to go through any mediator because we have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And as we learn His mind and replicate His life, then we glorify Him to the max. But those three enemies that are going to try to stop you from achieving this are always there. And this is what I want to talk about today. The first one is known as the world. The world is always out there, and it is luring you. The world lures you, and it can distract you. It can distract you from ever finishing the race, from ever growing up spiritually. I have seen many people that have accepted Christ as their Savior, and they began the spiritual journey of becoming mature believers. But as the world entered into the picture, and as they gained some popularity and they gained some prosperity, their spiritual life became second place, third place, fourth place, no place. It's sad to see that, because they are believers in Jesus Christ, and they have tremendous potential. But due to the promotion of the world, due to the distractions of the world, Christ has been relegated to no place in their life. They've left the racetrack. They stepped off the course. As 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 says, they failed to finish the race. And Paul warns about this. He said, look, I myself don't want to wind up being a castaway. And it's so easy to be distracted. So the world is there. Romans 12:2 tells us this, and do not be conformed to this world. But, the Bible goes on to say, and this is a strong conjunction of contrast, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect to God. And so the first mandate we have is, do not be conformed to this world. That's what the world will try to do to you. It will try to conform you. It'll try to get you to play by its rules, to do what everybody else does. So let me ask you this question. Where do you base your happiness? Is your happiness based on people and circumstances? Because if it is, then you are looking to the world to make you happy. You are not a member of this world. You are a sojourner passing through this world. You don't live here. You live in heaven. Your home is in heaven. And Paul talks about you just being a stranger coming through, going towards Uranos, or your heavenly home in the Greek New Testament. So we are warned by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans not to be conformed to the world. The world's always out to get you into their mold. They're out to suck you into their game. They're out to get you to play by their rules, and you don't have to. You have a completely, entirely magnificent life that has nothing to do with what the world has to offer. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Yes, we work. Yes, we have kids. Yes, we have homes. Yes, we have everything that goes with it. But that is not the source of our happiness and the source of our blessings. This verse says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Okay, this is a change. Now, how do I do it? Listen to the next part. By the renewing of your mind. Wow. You know what the Bible says? Stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. You are what you think. The Bible clearly says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The real you is not your image and your style. Your real you is what you're thinking right now. And if you're bitter, that's the real you. If you're lonely, that's the real you. If you're worried, that's the real you. And these are nothing. They are not part of the Christian life. If you are wallowing in any self-pity or guilt, that's not part of the Christian life. And the world is pulling you down. So what does it say? Change your mind. Change the way you think. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How are you going to change your mind? Well, our Lord said in Matthew 8, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to what he said. Here's the key. Take my yoke and learn of me. Learn. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, he said. You will never replicate the life of Christ until you learn what he was like, until you learn how he handled temptation, till you learn how he handled disappointment, until you learn how he handled the attacks of the deceiver, Satan. You've got to learn that. And this is your pattern. The Bible talks about a pattern, a hupogrammos, a pattern that we have. And Jesus Christ, when we put on the filling of the Holy Spirit, he cuts us into the same image as Christ. He replicates Christ in us. And it starts by what we think. So if we change the way we think, then this verse goes on to say we can prove what the will of God is. And that is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. God has a will for your life, a perfect will for your life, a good will for your life, and it's acceptable to him. So if something can be acceptable, then obviously something can be unacceptable. I'll tell you what unacceptable is. It's living the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. It's using emotions and manipulation to try to get people to do something. That's not the way God works. You must understand the Scripture. That's why it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must learn what is the right way and what is the wrong way. That's why we have the protocol plan of God. That's why we understand that protocol requires that a right thing be done in a right way, the acceptable will of God. You've heard me say it before. For example, prayer. Prayer is legitimate. You should pray, but there's a wrong way to pray. And if you're praying the wrong way, in spite of how many prayers you offered, they're not going to be answered. Because you did it in the energy of the flesh with unconfessed sin in your life, you failed to rebound. You failed to get back in fellowship. You know, when I sit here to do this radio show, I must rebound first. I must look into my soul and ask the Father if there's any unconfessed sin in my life. Because I don't want to sit here in front of this microphone and try to give you the thoughts of God from the Scripture and have sin in my life that quenches the Holy Spirit. I've got to be able to think and recall and remember the things that I've learned. And I can't do it in the energy of the flesh. And you cannot serve God in the energy of the flesh. That's not acceptable. That winds up being wood, hay, and stubble in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's all burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. So the Bible goes on in James 4:4 and says, you adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility to God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord, told us you must forsake the world. You must pick up your cross and follow me. He told us that he's a divider, that he would set father against son and mother against daughter, and that anybody that followed him was going to have conflict. And you must understand this. If you are looking to the world to make you happy, if you're looking to the world to make you prosperous, If you are buddy, buddy, buddy with the world, you cannot be buddy, buddy with God because of your motivation. You are living to please the world and not living to please God. That's the problem. Who are you living for? Are you living for the world and what the world offers? And because Satan will throw this at you. I have seen Satan give prosperity to men that could have been great men in the ministry. I have seen Satan do a lot of things. And I mean, not personally, I've never seen the devil, don't misunderstand me, but I've seen things happen that obviously were satanically inspired that destroyed the lives of certain individuals, spiritual lives. Men and women that could have had a great testimony for Jesus Christ, wiped out because of the world and the hostility of the world towards God. You know, the world doesn't like God. It doesn't care for God. Already in America, I mean, it's a sin to have the Ten Commandments in a public square, right? That's what they tell us. I mean, you can't even pray to God in a public school without the teacher being fired. It's gotten so ridiculous in America today that we are in sad shape spiritually. And you know what's going to happen is when the bottom falls out of our history, when our nation faces certain death and destruction, everybody's going to be calling on God then, but there's not going to be answer to their prayer, I promise you. He's not going to answer the prayer because you rejected him. My people are destroyed, Hosea 4:6 says, for lack of knowledge. Since you rejected knowledge, I'll reject you and reject your children. You can read in Proverbs 2 about those people who call on God and he won't answer when that time comes because they went after the wind and the whirlwind in their life. The world is full of illusion. The world is full of the lie. And you can't be friends with the world and friends with God. It just doesn't work. The Bible goes on to say a strong mandate in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, because nor the things that are in the world. Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, there's only one thing that motivates you to be a believer and grow in grace. The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, if we love him, we will obey him. Personal love for God is the most wonderful motivational virtue we have. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love the world, if you love the accoutrements of the world, if you love what the world offers you, then you can never, ever, ever have love for the Father. That's misplaced love. You're going to assign to God second place love. You love God because you're not going to hell. You love God because he's given you a nice family and a nice home and a nice car. And what if all that's taken away, like in the book of Job? Where's your love for God then? I'm telling you, you don't love God. You love the world and the things of the world that God allowed you to have. That's what you love. And that doesn't cut it with God. So this love for the world, this preoccupation of the world and the things that are in the world, as the Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You're chasing the wrong thing. You're barking up the wrong tree. So the world is definitely the enemy of grace. The world is out to defeat you. The world is out to distract you. And then there is something else in the Bible, another enemy. Not only is the world our enemy, but then there's another one. There is the flesh. That's right, the flesh. Go ahead, pinch yourself on the arm. That's it. It's the flesh. The Bible says in Romans 8:8, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, here's the trick to this thing. You have three parts if you're a Christian. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. When we're talking about the flesh, or the sarx, when we're talking about that flesh, you can't serve God in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, it means you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The only way, and this is what it is, you have a human spirit, and if you are a believer, you've been born again, you have a body, a soul, and a spirit, and you have been mandated to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So if you have quenched the Holy Spirit by sin in your life, and you have grieved the Holy Spirit because you have not confessed that sin, then you're operating in your Christian life as a member of God's kingdom, but out of fellowship. But you're still going to church, you're still singing in the choir, you're still doing all that other stuff, and giving your money, and this is wrong. This is violating the protocol of God. This is building up wood, hay, and stubble. And you cannot please God in the flesh. Just like an unbeliever cannot please God with his gifts, the believer out of fellowship cannot please God with his gifts. If you want to please God, you must, first of all, be under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you should know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know what rebound does. Rebound cleanses us from sin. And rebound takes us to the place of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's why when we take communion, we rebound. When we give money, we rebound. When we go to church, we rebound. When we go get up in the morning and we go to bed at night, we rebound. I may rebound 10, 12, 15 times a day sometime, depending on traffic. I have a sin nature. You have a sin nature. We all do. Don't act like you don't. Don't act like you're some holy, self-righteous Christian and you never sin. Those kind of people make me sick. Bless God, brother. I have not sinned in 6 months. You are full of it. What about mental attitude sins? What about sins of the tongue? Yeah, you might not have got drunk, and you might not have fornicated, and you might not have whatever, but you sinned because you have a sin nature. And you have to remember these things. You can't please God operating in the flesh, operating under the power of your sin nature. That's why we're told in Romans 13:14 to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not make any provisions for the flesh in regards to the lust of the flesh. Don't do it. Here's the bottom line. The Christian life is a life of choices. It's a life of decisions that you must make. There's no conference you can go to and no stick you can throw in a fire or nothing you can do that's going to say that from now on, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be a perfect Christian. It's every day. And unless you have a personal love affair with God, you're not going to stick with it. You're not going to grow spiritually. You're not going to replicate the life of Christ because you love the world and the things of the world and you're distracted. The flesh is always there, and you cannot make provisions for the flesh. That means you must decide every day, when the temptation comes up knocking on the door, will you or will you not? You must say no. It's just that simple. You must say no. I'm not going to do that. And you may have done it many times in the past. And this will frustrate you. You'll get mad at yourself because you'll do it again. And you'll think, God could not love me. Look, I did that. I went and did that again. Listen, he loves you. If he didn't love you, you would already be in heaven. He's not through with you. That's why you're listening to this show. Hopefully you can recover. Hopefully you can make something out of your life from here on out. But not until you learn something first. So you cannot make provisions for your flesh and in regards to the lust of the flesh. Why? Because Galatians 5:17 tells us the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they're opposite to one another, so that you can't do the things that you want to do. There's a war that goes on in your mind every day. There's always the flesh tempting you, and there's always the Holy Spirit telling you no. And the real deciding factor is your volition. Your volition can override the Holy Spirit at any time. And your volition can override the desires of the flesh at any time. You are the person who controls your own destiny, and it relates to what decision you make. Will you or will you not? Now, I can tell you, if you stay filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're growing in grace, saying no gets easier. I hope you learn that, because you are a product of your volition. Bad decisions limit future options. You can actually make enough bad decisions so that you don't even have any options left. You can wind up in a place that's not very happy, called jail or prison or whatever, because you made bad decisions in regard to the flesh. The flesh is very wicked, very evil, full of murder, full of lust, full of hatred. Nobody taught you those things. They are inherited from Adam's original sin. So you must be careful. There is one final enemy. It's called the devil. In Galatians 5:17, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit against the flesh. We've seen that. And now we see in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He's a deceiver. Whenever he speaks a lie. He's a deceiver. He's a liar and the father of all lies. He's a deceiver. Satan will deceive you. He will appeal to your arrogance. He will appeal to your intellect. It's not what you think he is. He's not running around with a red epidermis with a pitchfork. That's not. He's a fallen angel, one of the greatest, brightest, most beautiful angels that God ever created. And the Bible warns us that Satan can hinder you. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. I wanted to come to you. I wanted more than once, but Satan hindered me. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. Satan's in the business of blinding the minds of the unbeliever. How does he do that? Well, he gets you to distort the gospel. That's one way. Or he can distract them and deceive them. He's a deceiver. He counterfeits the gospel. It sounds real, looks real, but it's not real. Salvation is not you going up. It's not you going down. It's not you going forward. It's not you going back. Salvation is exactly what the Bible says. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He believeth not, the one that believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already. What did Jesus say? This is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe on me, whom he has sent. Do you believe? Do you believe he's the anointed Son of God who died for your sin, who paid the penalty for your sin? Then you are a Christian. You are, in fact, a member of God's royal family. And this message today is for you. I hope you listened. I hope you paid attention, because we'll be back next Sunday, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for being with me.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.